Welcome to the Every Nation Taipei podcast. We're here to help you know God, discover your purpose, grow in your relationships, and make a difference in Taipei, Taiwan, and beyond. We hope this message encourages you today.
Thank you, Pastor Bruce, Terry, the leadership team, my lovely wife, Jan. Jan and I, we're going to be celebrating our 47th anniversary next month. 47! And she's only 49, so I'm married to her when she was 2. So anyway, it's a tremendous time and tremendous exciting time God is doing in our lives. And I want to thank you for giving me the opportunity to serve you. I really believe my motto is to serve and to give. God has given me both gifts. One is to serve, one is to give. Why? Because the Bible talks about the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom. So the two powerful verb is give and serve. Can everybody join me and say give and serve? One more time. To give and to serve. Let's give God a clap of offering. Hallelujah. Okay, so this morning, you're probably not used to me asking you to clap. I teach in many countries online, and always, because, you know, they look at me, I look at them, there's not a lot of interaction, so I always ask them to clap. So they couldn't hear their clapping, they only hear my clapping, but anyway, they were all joining me in clapping. So today, I want to share about Nehemiah, but by the way, I want to let you know, today, as we're in the West, we'll be celebrating a happy Father's Day, so those of you who are fathers, and you maybe have biological children, and or you have maybe spiritual children like myself, and happy Father's Day. And today is a very important day for all the fathers. And I want to just spend a minute to tell you, to be a father, you first have to be a man. Have to be a man. Can somebody say amen? Okay, you have to be a man. It seems like somehow it's not computing here. Anyway. So you have to be a man, so it's not easy to be a man. If you don't believe it, ask Adam, okay? Adam fell as a man. No. Then you have to be a father. You have to be a father. Before you have to be a father, you have to be a husband. It's not easy to be a husband, to love your wife, because you have to love the Lord in order to love your wife. If you don't love the Lord, you're not going to love your wife. And number three, you have to be a father. That means your children look up to you. You are the model for them. They look up to you for everything. I look up to my model, my father, for everything. He was courageous, he was brave, he has integrity, he was strong in the Lord, and he is taller than me. Okay? A lot of things I look up to him. So anyway, so I want to just say to all the fathers, I'm proud of you to be fathers, and the fathers to be, all the young men. And so when the time comes and you're gonna step into that role, you're going to be proud of that role, because I am proud of that role, being a father, being a husband, and also to be a son for someone who mentored me as well. So let's just look at Nehemiah today. Before I go into the main task, I prepared the slides, so I'm going to probably do more quickly for some of the slides because of the time. The teaching, when I prepare for this, I normally prepare for 2 hours. But now we have 40 or maybe even less, 30 minutes. So I'm going to condense a lot of that. So I have the control of the remote here. So anyway, I want to start it out just to let you know, give you a recap of the Nehemiah. Because in that character, I'm going to mention the 10 uniqueness of the Nehemiah. It's not even the text to really encourage the fathers today. The Lord just prompted my spirit to do that. So first of all, I want to let you know that Nehemiah, let's just bow our heads and just say a prayer. Father, we praise you and thank you for this time. I ask the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us so that we'll be able to preach the word in season, out of season, oh God. That let you continue to be the center of our attention. Let all us receive you, because you are the one delivering the word. Let me just stay behind you, behind the cross. Let you be exalted, be uplifted, oh God. We give you all the glory and honor and praise for this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, Amen. Okay, so when Nehemiah, when he was the governor, he did some things I want to share with you. He formulated the security rules and assigned the Levites to guard the city gates. And he appointed his brothers to manage all matters of the city gates. So then he conducted population registration to solve the problems of the residents of Jerusalem. Then what he did, he made the wall of the Zion on everlasting foundation. So he did all this because he's a man of God. He has the fear of God. He's a man of prayer. And he knew that he wept looking at Jerusalem being really crumbled and being ruined. And he said, I want to rebuild the wall. So this is the Nehemiah. So the one that I want to let you know, this very important principle, is that the best governance is to govern the human heart. And the governance of the human heart is the Word of God. If I ever want to govern a human's heart, I got to have to govern the heart that really lean or drawn to the Word of God. It is the Word of God is our standard. It is the Word of God that lead us to the right direction. So that's number one. It's very important to remember that. Now, Nehemiah also teamed up with the scribe Ezra, as you know, to start out to return to the Word of God. I call that the Bible revival during that time. They're moving forward. Ezra taught the book of the law and explains that in detail. Ezra and Nehemiah, just a two-piece in one pot. They're totally different in sentiment. They're totally different in their gifting, but they complement each other. And that's something that I will encourage you to study Ezra and also Nehemiah. It used to be in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew, is actually one book. So it's something for you to really study the two characters of these two men. So throughout the history, the church and the countless spiritual movements, almost every spiritual revival is inseparable with the prayer and the Word of God. So it's very important that we as a church, that we really raise up the prayer warriors. We really intercessors. At the same time, we also really focus on the Word of God. The Word of God actually lead us. So anyway, a true revival can actually be said to be a revival of prayer and also faith. So this morning, I'm going to talk about the stewardship. Stewardship is founded in faithfulness. So Nehemiah, right now, he gave us some of the things for us to really look up to. I personally like to study the Nehemiah chapters because I learned things from him. For example, he has a clear vision. His word is very easy to understand, frank words. He has courageous actions, and he motivated just to glorify God in everything that is something that is really challenging and something that is really hard to do. But he wanted to glorify God. And his zeal for God was just unfailing. He just had a tremendous zeal. You know, for many years, people label me. He said that, Timothy, if I have to describe you with one word, zeal. Some people say enthusiasm. Now, I'm very honored to hear that description. But anyway, that is what I'm really aiming and striving for. Now, also, Nehemiah is intolerant to sin. He's very urging in directly to correct the sins, to deal with sin. And he also absolutely, he is clear out the rooms of Tobiah, who's the one that's trying to build a house in the temple. He's trying to make himself to be the one that enjoy all the resources. So Nehemiah did that. Nehemiah could not tolerate this intermarriages in the sense that the Jews and the Gentiles, they don't really come together, they don't mix together. Now that's why the Samaritans attacked Nehemiah so much, because of that. So anyway, you see all these in Nehemiah. I can go on and on about Nehemiah's character. I want to just give you just like a quick 10 things to encourage the fathers today. Now if you are brothers and sisters, you can also be encouraged as well, because this is the character of God. Nehemiah, number one, he is a person who believes that prayer can solve everything. So really, we as a church, let's start with prayers. Let's really join hands and pray for the church. I was talking to one of the sisters on a Wednesday night in the care group, and she really has a burden to pray. I said, God, bless you. That's what we need. We need prayers in our church. Number two, Nehemiah is someone who is willing to sacrifice himself for the kingdom of God. You know, being a disciple, first and foremost, is be willing to sacrifice. That's disciple 101. Are you willing to be inconvenient? Many times we are need to be challenged in that particular area. I just heard Pastor Bruce is so graciously and gently say, you know, 10 o'clock, I know it's very early, but I know you can make it 10 o'clock. So bless your heart. That's a pastor. Okay. Nehemiah would not say that. But anyway, okay. So anyway, Nehemiah is one of my heroes. So I truly appreciate the character of him. So number three, he is a man of great confidence. He has such a faith in the Lord. Number four, he is a man of great courage. He's not afraid being challenged. He's not afraid people threaten his life. He's not being afraid people come and invite him five times to talk to him. He's a person, number six, he is a person whose faith and practice are intertwined. In other words, he is not just talk the talk, but he walk the walk. I always want myself, before I even talk, let me walk first. If I can't live out, shut my mouth. I'm not going to speak anything that I can't even live practice in my own life. So number seven, he is a person who is dedicated to serving the Lord. Again, I talk about giving and serving. Number eight, he's a person who leads by example. I talk about the modeling, being a father, being a husband, being a son. We need to learn how to model. Number eight, he is a person who is not show partialities to others. And I'm trying to do my best to not to show any favor to anybody. Sometimes it looks like a favor, but it's not a favor. Different children you treat differently, but the same result is the same. Christ-likeness. Can somebody say amen? Okay, the next one, he is a perseverant person. In other words, he persevered to the very end. He would not budge. He would not allow these enemies trying to come to steal him. They're trying to threaten his life. They're trying to mock at him. They did everything he could, but he just stayed still. He's a persevering person. The last but not the least, he's a person that highly used by God. He rebuilt the wall and he celebrated. Now, today's my sermon constitutes chapter 12 in the sense that it's a celebration. This is the climax of the whole 13 chapters. It's when it comes together, the wall is built in 52 days. By the way, imagine you building the wall for 52 days and 2,600 years ago and it's still standing today. Think about that. If you go to Jerusalem, you can find a piece of wall that's built by Nehemiah. It's still standing today. And they only took them 52 days to build it. I'm not quite sure my house can stand for 40 years. It's 20 years now. But it's 2,600 years, 2,500 years that wall is still standing. Imagine, it's not just by one person. It's by the motivation of the leader of Nehemiah. I mobilized everyone living in that surrounding the Jews. Says, hey, let's come together. You build this wall. I build this part. You live here. You live here. You live here. The enemy comes. Let's get one hand with the tool to build do the construction. The other one will get the spear. We will be guarding ourselves. We will be fighting against the enemy. Come on. I just love Nehemiah the way he lead the troops. You know, it's very important sometimes that we get into the spiritual life of it. We get involved with this. But at the same time, we know the enemy is trying to destroy us every single day. We got to have to guard our heart. We got to do the warfare. We got to have the spirit. At the same time, we got to have the tool. We're going to rebuild the church, every nation. At the same time, we got to guard against the enemy trying to destroy every nation church. Can somebody say amen? Can we give God a type of offering? Hallelujah. So it's very important. Now, I just want to start it out with even give you the ending of this recap. It basically said two things I wanted you to imagine, to keep in your mind. Number one, just because God leads us to do a task does not mean that the task will suddenly become easy. It was never easy. Okay, Jen reminds me I have not used the PowerPoint because I haven't started the PowerPoint yet. Okay, all right. Thank you, dear. All right. I will do this very, very quick, but this is very important. Okay. Anyway, so let's, because God lead us to do a task does not mean that the task will suddenly become easy. So I did a lot of difficult tasks, especially working in the communist country. I did 30 some years, tremendous task, tremendous difficulty, tremendous challenges. Likewise, just because the task becomes difficult or just because opposition arises like Nehemiah faced, it does not necessarily mean that the completing this task is not God's will. So if you keep that in mind, no matter what you face today, you know if you're in the God's center of God's will, it's going to be accomplished no matter what. Because God is on your side, who can be against you? Can somebody say amen? Number two, a very important, all too often that perhaps we sit around waiting for God to show us the open door. Assuming that if the door is not easily open, then it must not be God's will for us. Sometimes in some situation that perhaps God wants us to kick in the door. Or perhaps find a window to climb in. God wants us to follow his leading and trusting him for empowerment. Listen, I want to live myself every day in the presence of God at the same time, experiencing his miracle. I want to experience God's miracle every single day, supernatural power every day. God wants to empower us. We're not the weakest vessel. We are strong in the Lord. Let the power of God touch our hearts today. So therefore, God wants us to follow his leading and trusting him for empowerment, but he also expects us to, number one, like Nehemiah, we have to plan well. Number two, we have to, like Nehemiah, to lead well. Number three, we have to be like Nehemiah, to work hard. Number four, we have to be like Nehemiah, to persevere in spite of the opposition and so-called closed doors. You know, when I first got involved with the communist country, that was closed. The Iron Curtain was closed in 1982 when we smuggled the Bible into Soviet Union. In 1990, I went into the Bamboo Curtain that was supposed to be closed, and I went in. To this day, for 28 years. Looking back for 35 to 40 years, I was living in all the closed doors. But it ain't gonna close for me, because my God, he opens the door, no one can shut. He shuts the door, no one can open. Can somebody, why not give God a glory once again? God wanna open that door, even if it looked like it's closed. So it's very important that we do that. Hope. This is something I wanna just share with you. Even if I don't finish all the slides, this is something really in my heart. I put it in, down because I wanna share with you, okay? So what I'm talking about here is the second part. The second part is very important that we understand that God is right now is doing a mighty work in our midst. It means every nation. So stewardship has to do with giving, and giving, it has to do with your faithfulness. Let it continue to be faithful. So faithful stewards, we see this in Nehemiah. Okay, Nehemiah, throughout the whole 13 chapters, you see the faithfulness of it. So number one, we see the Nehemiah being faithful over here. Again, there's a lot of scriptures, but you can just take a look of this and I will just move on. Okay, now the principle number one, Nehemiah here, is our giving is an act of worship. They come together, they celebrate, they sing, they worship, and because they gave. They first gave, they first gave the time, gave the energy, gave the money, everybody served to build that wall. Then it comes to the celebration. So when we give to the Lord, our giving is an act of worship, showing that our trust and our dependence on God as our provider. Now, many times we say, God, you are my provider, you are my provider, but we never give. Do you give your time? Do you give your energy? Do you give your talents and giftings? Did you give everything? Did you give your resources? Do you see that this is what God is really wanting to bless you? He has to have the means to bless you. The way that he bless you is to get your heart. If he doesn't have your heart, he's not going to bless you, because when he bless you, you just leave him even further away. So number one, we see that it's very important that Nehemiah did. Number two, we see over here, at the same time, some were appointed over the rooms of the storehouse of the offering, and the fruit and the first fruit and the tithes to gather into them from the fields of the city. So you look at the second thing is right now he appointed over the rooms of the storehouse. So there's an appointment. This basically is set up so that this can be regulated, can be monitored, can be done correctly. Now, in our church, I believe church as a whole, as a leader of whole, we always need to remind ourselves. It teaches us the importance of a proper financial management. We got to have the financial management because God entrusted with the funds, like we just mentioned about the 8.7 million. We need to be financially responsible for the money. So we need to manage that well. And we need to provide accountability. And also the significance of the transparency and integrity in handling the financial resources. I believe that's the key for God to pour even more financial resources to us. Okay. So Nehemiah, the next one, that they offer great sacrifice and rejoice, for God has made them rejoice with a great joy. The women and the children also rejoiced, so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard far off. So you can see the men, then you can see the women, and you can see the children. Now, what does that mean? Let's take a look. It means that we are called to work together as a community of believers, pooling our resources to advance God's kingdom and meet the needs of others. There is a spirit of unity. There's a spirit of a collaboration among his people. Beloved, I love you. You may not know me well because I traveled to many places and I just returned not too long ago, and I'll be going again to visit other nations. By the way, when I go to another country, I serve another every nation church. So God has given me the grace in Jen and I to be able to serve every nation church whenever we can find one. And so therefore, there's a spirit of unity and collaboration among the people. Beloved, I want to encourage you this morning. Let's join our hands together. Let's be that unity. Let's collaborate together. Let's just see the work of God. This is the rebuilding of God's kingdom, God's war, right here in this place. Let's join our hands together. Can somebody say amen? Hallelujah. Let's see the next one here. Okay. Let's see. Number three. Okay, this is, I've already gone number three. Number four, this is 1 Corinthians thing. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Cheerful. Cheerful giver. You know, many times we give out of the obligation. We just feel that we're fearful. If we don't give, someday we may just go to hell. So we give. God never wants us to be motivated by obligation or guilt or fear. God wants us to be a cheerful giver. Here's the principle. Our giving should be motivated by love and gratitude towards God rather than a sense of an obligation. Beloved, I shared with you before, I want to share again. Jen and I, our goal is to, we are working towards that goal. We really believe we can live on 10% of our income. And we want to be able to give 90% away. Now you say, wait a minute. How do you do that? It's very easy. God's all our resources. God is a God that owns everything. So therefore, the more we give it to God, the more God give it to us. I gave you an example. I won't repeat it because a lot of time will change. But one man did that. He motivated me back in the 1970s. I started giving 20%, 30%, 40%, 50%. Because that man, he believed that everything he has is God's. So he began to give a God. He said, God, I want to give you 20. So eventually, God gave him, he landed the job in 1969 to build this bulldozer or special machine operated in trying to build the runway, you know, so the plane can tax it out of the runway in Vietnam. And he did that. And guess what? All the contracts come in to the point that his 10% was even greater than his 90%. God owns all. So let God have all that. So therefore, I really believe, let's give God. We use the word that let's outgive God. You can never outgive God, even if you tried. But that's the God that we serve. Okay. So stewardship, the number two, this part I want to share with you, is our faithfulness. It's very important that we understand. Having said all this, it boils down to, are you faithful? out. Now, principle number one is to give without a need to receive men's recognition. Okay, let me just see this real quick. Okay, this is what I've got to review from last time I shared the joy of giving, but because of time, we will go over that. We will skip that. So Matthew chapter 6, all these scriptures talk about, again, the Father God is that want us to be a cheerful giver, okay? So the whole thing it mentioned about the hypocrites and all that. So you can go through the scripture very quickly. And the bottom line I want to share with you is very important. That right now, God has given all of us the opportunity right now. We can be the part of God is using in this church, in every nation church. So therefore, we need to take a look at, can we be the one that God wants us to be by doing, applying God's word in our life? Now, some of these scriptures you're already familiar with, so that's why I'm skipping quickly on this. But to Matthew 20:25, they talk about that those people who give the 10 talents, the 5 talents, the 2 talents, and the one that buried under the ground. So the 2 talents, God says that his Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you rule over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." I love that. I love that, especially every time I go to the steakhouse to eat steak, I always say, "Well done, well done." So again, it's so important that we inventory the goal is we stand before the Lord. God is going to say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." My good and faithful preacher? No. My good and faithful apostle? No. My good and faithful senior leaders of the church? No. My good and faithful servant. Good for us to think about it. So here in the principle of Jesus in Matthew 6, give without the need to receive men's recognition. So let's go through that real quick. Principle of Jesus, Matthew 6. Okay, remember that. Give without the need to receive men's recognition. It's very important that we're not motivated by recognition, so we give. We will give because we love God. We're passionately in love with the Lord. We know whenever we give it to God, not to men. Okay. So here, nothing wrong to be appreciated for giving. It's wrong to give for that reason. Now, I've been appreciated by people privately. That's fine. But I didn't look for appreciation, so I give. Okay. When you give for men's recognition, you forfeit your reward. So therefore, Pharisees would like to do it in front of the people. God said, no, you just lost your reward. Number 2 is very important. Give to the needy without making it known. Again, sometimes a lot of people give without people knowing it. I really commend for those people who do that. You know, privately, we just help someone. Help these people who really have a need. Recently, I did that, something I threw in other hands. I don't want these people to know that I was the one to give, so I used another person to give this person who I felt that he really had the need, and he appreciated the person who I asked to represent me. And I didn't know that that this person right now, that really God is using him mightily. I just gave at the time that I felt that he has a need. Okay, so does not affect your ego or theirs. Okay, when you do that, when you publicize, you forfeit your reward. Give with the understanding that your heart will follow your treasure. It's very important that we understand this part. For many years, I know that God's using a lot of people, including myself, to really give. But sometimes we don't have the wisdom. At least I should say I don't have the wisdom. I give it to the people who really did not really use that for the kingdom. You know, I just really felt that they had the need, so I gave it to them. One of the pastors, you know, I won't mention the countries, the names and all that. So anyway, I saw that he really living in a very, very poor condition. So I thought, people have given me when I really most needed. And therefore, then I was able to really see myself as a channel of giving. So to whom much is given, much is required. God gave me, God blessed me so he can make a blessing out of me. So I gave to the person I helped him to buy the house. And I was hoping that this leader, when he bought the house, he would capture the spirit that I had in me, that he would be the channel of blessing. But this leader didn't. not only that he didn't bless his leaders, but he came over here and expected that I would give him more. So therefore, give without understanding that your heart will follow your treasure. There's the 2 points over here. Protect you from loss. In other words, whenever you do a giving, you give it to the person that many times you give and your investment, you avoid the potential losses. It implies that protecting yourself emotionally, I should say, and spiritually from feeling depleted or taking advantage of what giving of your resources. In other words, even though I gave it out of my heart, some people can misuse it. I will not allow my emotion to be drained, to be depleted by that. But what I do is I learn the lesson. Next time I will be wiser. When I give, I will give knowing that it's God's will, knowing that this person is going to be receiving that, not just the material part of it, but receive the spirit of a giving in them. So therefore, I have to protect myself from just foolishly giving away things, which I have done many, many years. So therefore, protect yourself from that loss. Assume yourself of the unseen resources. In other words, when I give it to people, if I give you monetarily, if I give you things from my house, whatever I give it to you, I don't expect you to give it back exactly the same thing that I can see it. No. When I give it to the Lord. So when I give it away, I give it away. But you know what I expect? I expect something that's unseen. Something that is in heaven. Something that I would see face to face. God was in my good and faithful servant. Something that I couldn't see with my eyes. I want to give you a great example. You know, I work in the communist country for all these years, and I wasn't able to help my mother. Because my mother, you know, by the way, I will mention a little bit later. But anyway, I couldn't be with her. Now, being the traditional Chinese family, you know, I'm the only son. I'm the youngest. Obviously, 40 years out in the field in the restricted countries, you know, I wasn't able to take care of my mom. And I always carry that guilt. I said, you know, I'm the son, I'm the only man, and then my father passed away. I'm supposed to take care of my mom, and I'm out in the field and serving all this. But you know what? God sees that. When I was out there, I gave my soul, I gave my heart, I gave my willingness, I gave my giftings, I gave my monetary gifts. I do everything to serve these people, to give and to serve for almost 40 years. But you know what? Assure yourself unseen resources. In other words, God has given me resources that I did not have. And this is one of them. Listen to this. My mother is going to be, by December, 100 years old. My mom's going to be 100 years old without me taking care of her for the last 40 years. And listen to me, my brother and my sister. He has never seen the doctor. He has never taken any medicine. That is your unseen resources. When you give God, you can never outgive God. Can somebody say amen? Hallelujah. You know, I was thrilled. I was just with my mother last month. I said, Mom, I said, I'm afraid I won't be able to outlive you. I'm 70s. My mom said, well, I'm only 100. And I took her to a little town in Nashville, not Tennessee, Nashville, another state. And she was sitting there under the sun, the beautiful little country place, and she was eating her ice cream. 100 years old mother eating ice cream. Remember, assure yourself that it's going to be something God will give it to you that's going to be unseen because you're willing to give, to serve God. Can somebody once again give God the clap of offering? Okay, that is my exciting point. Okay, so I share all this to let you know, God is so awesome. So give because you are faithful. I want to be faithful. Faithfulness is a fruit of the Spirit. It's a fruit of the Spirit. I want to share this quick story. I was serving one of the Eastern Bloc country. And at the time in 1990, I was in my 30s. And we left everything back, you know, in the where we had the jobs, we had a good income, we have houses, we had 3 cars, we have everything in the West that we gave it up. We went to the communist country in the Eastern Bloc country, and we served the church and the leaders there. So lo and behold, it's just right after 1990s, the collapse of communism. And so this country, they want to start the church plans. They want to start moving, just really bring revival to the land. And I was given the opportunity to come to serve under the leadership there. Long story short, they need a mission center. They need to build a mission center. Somebody gave them the land, and they need money to really build that place. My wife and I were there. We were still in our late 30s. And we decided, well, we don't have an income right now, but we're going to help to build that center. We really believe that God will use that center to really to mobilize to bring revival to this land. Sure enough, later on, I will tell you the story. But anyway, at the time, Jan and I would just say, how are we going to do it? We're going to just, you know, tighten our belt. We're going to just cut down our budget. We're going to spend less. You know what? That 1 year, I ate spaghettis. I like spaghettis. I ate spaghetti for the whole year. Every meal, like a pao mian. It's like a instant noodles. You know, I ate that entire year. That's before I know about the sugar problems and cholesterols and everything else. So we did that for the whole year so we can save money. And we save up $30,000. We donated. I want to share that because there's a reason for that. We donated to build that place. That place to this day, after 33 years, is still standing. And that's not the end of the story. Two things I want to share with you so quickly about being faithful. I calculated, I figured out $30,000 then, 30-some years ago, were worth about $100,000 today, the least. At least, I mean, just talk about the inflation alone. The dollars will be equivalent to $100,000 today. You know how much that building, that center worth today? $5 million. That means we have generated, sowing the seed that generated 50 times of its value. That's not the end of it. That mission center has trained so many people in the last 30 years. Last year when we went back, I remember I used our center to train one of the young couple, just like you guys, a lot of the fathers in here. I trained one of the father, and I forgot about it. I just left. I went to another communist country, restricted countries to serve. But last year I went back. One of the men that came to me identified me. He said, "You and Brother Timothy, right?" I said, "Yeah, how do you know? I don't recognize him." He said, "We know you very well." I said, "How do you know me?" He said, "My father was trained by you in the mission center." I said, "Oh yeah? What's your father's name?" He said, "Well, let me do this." He looked through his iPhone and he sent me a picture. He sent me a picture. He said, "At the time you were there," which I was 38. He said, "I was 5 years old." He was a little boy there. We're gonna show that photo real quick after this. He said, I was 5 years old. Today, last year when I went back, he recognized me. He said, "Brother Timothy," he said, "now, then you were 38. Now I'm 38. And he's a pastor serving a thriving church, the growing leaves and bounds. He said, "Pastor Timothy, I want you to come back and train our third generation. You can use the mission center. We can train the third generations." Now he is 38, I'm 71. So I want to show you these two photos real quick. If they can do, okay, this is on the far right. You don't recognize me because I was so young, but that was me, okay? When I still have a lot of hair on my head. So that's Timothy right there. And the little boy right here, look at his eyes. That little boy, Thomas. He recognized me last October. When I was there, he's a lead pastor of a thriving church. Let's take a look at another picture. Watch the eyes. That's Thomas today. He is 38. I'm still 38. Look at this. Can we give God glory? Faithfulness always produces generations. It's a transgenerational building. Third generation is coming. I'm so excited. My wife and I were going to be going this October again. They want us to come in to teach them marriages. They want us to come to teach them discipleship. We're going to be there. We're going to be working alongside with Thomas, Pastor Thomas. We're going to build his little boy of 5 years old. Can we give God one more clap offering? I can't finish everything I shared to share with you, but I can tell you, faithfulness is the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. You can see love, joy, and peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. And faithfulness defined is moral conviction. I have that conviction. As long as I live, God, you give me this breath, I'm going to serve everywhere I go. I'm going to serve faithfully. And faithfulness is consistently trustworthy and loyal. That's where I want to be. Now, faithfulness in your daily life. Do you have a daily devotion? Do you share your faith with people when you come in contact with? Are you connecting yourself to the community? Are you tithing regularly? Just for you to think about faithfulness. Faithfulness is the decision. I hope today when I share, you will make that decision today. Be faithful. It is a decision. It's a choice. Just like a marriage, it's a decision, it's a choice. You don't always wake up in the morning feeling like you're just passionately in love with your spouse. If you are, you can teach me about marriage. Sometimes you wake up in the morning and says, honey, would you brush your teeth before I kiss you? You know what I'm saying? You always see something, you just get up, you wake up, not necessarily always kind of like, just like the first day you saw the person. Now, I love my wife dearly, and she is so precious. She's tired of hearing it, but I still want to keep talking and let her know that. So faithfulness is a decision. I made a decision. I'm going to love my wife. I'm going to make a decision. I'm loving the Lord. I'm going to make a decision. I'm committed to the church. I'm going to make the decision. I'm going to relate to this person, even though he's very hard to relate. One person say amen. Huh? Thank you. Okay. So receive is the steward of revelation. Receive the stewardship, the steward's revelation, receive the steward's responsibility, and receive the steward's reward, okay? So being a good steward is really in your faithfulness. In your faithfulness, you receive God's blessings, okay? So having said all that, I want to let you know that God is using all of us today. We're not the only one being used. All of us being used. So you want to see faithfulness is the key to greater blessings. So God want to bless us. God has blessed Jen and I many, many ways. And I believe that it's going to be even more as the time to come. So what I really want to share today, a lot of these are in details, will take a long time. But nevertheless, I want to let you know that today, God is giving us such a joy to be able to come to you and to share this message. I wouldn't want to go anywhere else to share if I can't even share to the people whom I love, which Jen and I, we love you very much. We kind of torn in between the two because we do have to go. We do have to sometime to do business elsewhere. We have to be out of the country, but nevertheless, we love you all. So be faithful and I will preserve you. This is what God will say. Okay. Be faithful that I will preserve you. Okay. So here is the things I want to share with you in the last part. The faithfulness is the key to greater blessings. Number one, be faithful and I will preserve you. In Psalm 31, 23 says that, love the Lord, all your his saints, for the Lord preserves the faithful and fully repays the proud person. So be faithful, okay, in that. Now, number two, I want to share with you is, okay, enter into the joy of the Lord. When you are faithful, you will receive blessings. And the blessing is to enter into the joy of the Lord. Matthew 25, 22 shares that. He also who had received 2 talents came to the Lord. Lord, you delivered me to 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides me. The Lord says, my good and faithful servants, come and enter into the joy of the Lord. That's where the scriptures come from. Okay. Number three, I will put you in charge of my possessions. Stay right there. God will put you in charge of his possessions. This is something that I wish I could communicate the way I really want to communicate to you. You know, nobody deserves to receive his possessions. The only way, the only roadmap for you and I to receive his possessions is by being faithful. Being faithful. And I know God has given Jen and I such a possessions. I don't just mean monetarily, but look at God giving us the joy. God giving us the passion, the zeal, the enthusiasm. God has given us the broad heart for people. God has given us the burden for the lost. God has given us a physical body that we can really... And I just finished traveling in the U.S. You know, I drove I drove 7,500 kilometers this one trip by myself. 72 years old. No sweat. 7,500 kilometers. God says, everything I have is yours. If you are faithful, you want money, I give you money. You want health, I give you health. You want joy, I give you joy. You want a passion, I give you passion. You want a burden, I give you the burden for loss. You want a vision, I give you a clear vision. You want a great commission, I will give you the anointing to carry the word to the end of the world. Can somebody once again give God a clap of offering? It is you and I. God will put us in charge of his possessions. And then I will entrust you with a revelation. I love it. We're not walking on just understanding. We're walking on the revelation of God. 2 Timothy 2:2 basically talk about these things you have heard from me among many witnesses, God said. This is Paul addressed to Timothy, of course. What do you hear from Paul? Paul's got tremendous revelation. Paul knows how to build. Paul goes the first journey, second journey, third journey. So building God's kingdom. I'm running out of time. I got to finish now. So anyway, here it shows that faithfulness able to God give them the revelation. I will give you the crown of life. The very final ones, God will give us the crown of life. So here I want to just ask you a few questions. Just follow me with those 2 minutes and we're done. He will not ask, did you preach great messages? Lord, I didn't preach a great message today. Did you have the biggest church? No. God, I don't have the biggest church. Did you drive the nicest car? Mm-mm. Not today. Maybe tomorrow. Did you score the most points? Did you get the Oscar or the Grammy? See, God would never ask you these questions. But yet, honestly, that's what we're striving for. Did I preach well? Is my church big? What do you think about my car? How do I do? Am I being known? Am I popular? Are you my fans? But God will only ask you, did you remain faithful to my purpose for your life? So tonight, today, finish with this. Let's just be faithful in stewardship. Stewardship is not just your money, but your time, your energy, your gifting, your physical body. Everything you have, be good steward for God. That also stand up. Let me pray for you. Father, I praise you and thank you for today. I thank you, God, you're speaking to us in such a way that we will never be able to comprehend, but yet we want to believe it. We want to trust you. We know, God, that you are the God of Almighty. Lord, I thank you, God, that you give me the opportunity to share today. I ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us just like the waves, oh God. Let the power of God just touch our life in such a mighty way that will open up our eyes, oh God, that we're able to see what we could never see before. Thank you, Jesus, for your grace and for your anointing. We give you all the glory and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give God the clap offering. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for listening. We pray this message spoke to you and built your faith. For more messages like this, visit our website at everynationtaipei.com. You can also send a prayer request and reach out to us anytime. God bless you. Till next time.